This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Just another beautiful day here. Broken record, but love repeating it. Anyway, many things happen over the weekend and over the week regarding some of the old stories and new developments and what have you. I want to share with you, we're going to talk about several things that we talked about last week, but it's not that I don't have enough to talk about. It's just that, let me try and explain to you. When you have government entities who have the responsibility to do what's right by the people, and they fail, that's problem one. Problem two is you dare to query them or ask questions about the shortcomings or the shortfalls or the work that they're not doing. Third, then how dare you do that? And if you do, there's this practice of this policy that enables for you and I, though there's, quote, transparency in government, you and I are able to look at documents, but there is this delay. And in this town, in this, especially this at Abercrombie and Caldwell administration, what we see is some tactics that come right down unethical and illegal. But I guess we'll have to wait till the jury is out or if someone's ever going to challenge them. But they know individually when I or you make a request for documents or information, they can implement a 10-day or everything is based on 10 days. If it's something good and going to make, let's say, Caldwell look good, like run around picking up the homeless people and stealing their property and their goods. If you want to do a story about that, he's all there. But if you want to ask Caldwell about Pam Whitty Oakland's continual employment with the St. Francis Hospital, and then that she authorized $466,000 to the St. Francis Intergenerational Center, and you ask for those records, and it's about now a month, and you can't get them. So anything that make these entities look, quote, bad, as they may take it or interpret it, there's this wall of smoke and mirrors and delay. And we're going to talk about that, for example, we're going to talk about GMO later on. I try to steer clear of that unless I have specific concerns or facts. And what we'll find out is that through some of my activities, if some of this material used by GMOs or hazardous waste or considered hazardous waste, then the state health department has jurisdiction to investigate, to regulate, to make sure that and conduct inspection of these facilities, no matter how private or how secret the GMOs are. Problem is, I file a request for information from the Department of Health Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, more of the Hazardous Waste Branch at the Department of Health. And there are some reports that show they conducted inspections and there were supposedly violations at these facilities, especially on Maui for Monsanto, for example. Now, this was about 2 years ago, this one inspection that I'm interested in. So the file is basically closed. No investigation continuing or anything. It's just dead paper. I make a request, and now all of a sudden, and all I wanted to do is inspect reports from Monsanto on all islands of the state of Hawaii. This is what I sent to the hazardous waste branch. So, what happened? This is what the state, now after they've diddled and daddled, and actually criminal behavior, defrauding the public of access to records and obstructing justice, as far as I'm concerned, because we're entitled to those records under 92F. And yes, I know there's redaction and what have you, but there's no work in progress or anything, we assume, because if it take them 2 years to resolve an inspection problem, then something's wrong. But what I got back was, agency must consult with another person to determine whether the record is exempt from disclosure under Chapter 92F HRS. Now, I'm under the belief that if it's in the government's hand, and that entity, Monsanto or whoever, did not file a disclaimer or a protective clause that exists within the state, that this is proprietary, I don't want to know how they are manipulating the genes. I don't care. I'm not interested in it. All I want to see is what my state government as regulatory body did, or what inspections they conducted, and what they found to be in violations or inconsistent with law on the behalf of Monsanto. So why do you suppose the state then would write me back, who is supposed to be protecting me and have conducted an inspection and an investigation, and this case closed, collecting dust. Now all of a sudden they have to contact another person to determine. So labeling of GMOs is of concern. I think you have a right to know what you're ingesting and what you're purchasing. That's only fair. But how did we get this far? And later on we'll talk about that. And how is it that there's so much secret? And with this administration, the Abercrombie administration, the Caldwell administration, and how do we get there? So we're going to go backwards a bit. As I talked to you last week about the trash was building up in areas that were falls under the coverage of Pearl City Yard. We'll call it yard, but it's the city and county of Honolulu's refuse yard. And this is where the trucks are housed, the men are dispatched, the drivers are dispatched. And then if you recall, I talked about the front-end loaders that were of seven that existed. There were only at that time two functional, and one was at Kailua, two at Kailua, and one was working there, and two at Middle Street. And so you have this kind of game. If you want to stir your coffee now, because you might spill it, but it sounds like we're sitting here nitpicking, but this is big bucks and big mistakes and big-headed people with ideas that they're not accountable to anyone. They don't have to do anything. All they have to do is to be able to author a law or a bill or an ordinance, and you and I are supposed to read it, be informed of that bill or that ordinance with the raising of taxes, and act accordingly. Put our money in the purse, in the pouch, and shut up. Don't ask questions as to what with accountability. So in this case, you have Palm Villas, you have Eva Villages, you have Evelani Villas, and a couple others, all the way from, let's just say IL, and I'm going to shortchange you on some of this, but to Makaha. And the big question is, why do some of the people get service to pick up at the condominiums, and others have to pay for theirs? Well, I talked about this way back, the eleemosynaries, but also there's some political. If you have a friend that works in the Environmental Services Department, or if you work for the Environmental Services Department, and you have some clout or pull, or you're just a thug, like many of them are, and they've resorted to just thuggery and thievery, stealing from the taxpayer. And so if you live in this condominium, you can then, and you have a little pull with your friends, you can have your condominium get free pickup, front-end loader. You don't have to hire a company like SSG Roll-Off or Honolulu Recovery or Disposal. You can just call your buddies up at the city. And it is estimated approximately $100 per can when they lift those cans. And generally, these cans are serviced twice a week. So you're looking at per can, and if you have 300 cans or in a route, or let's just say 10. So 10 times 100, 1,000, and do that twice a week. So you can imagine. The other question is, now, there's this debate about separation of church and state. Now, church and state. I know for a fact that many of my friends that attend church and go to church, they proclaim that they're free from government. Government has no influence, no input, can't dictate, do anything. They're free. It's between them and God, not them and the tax man. So they're separate. But how is it that churches, some of the church people, or many of them, and I'm compiling a list, get free service from the very government that they don't want to be bothered by? They don't think, they think they're separate, and the Constitution affords that, of course. It's not just that they think it. It's afforded to them in the Constitution. So I don't want to belittle that in the constitutional rights of others. But the problem is, the religious section may find it as a blessing of sort. I find it as an impropriety. But then, who am I? But ask yourself, how is it that a church can be a separate entity and make sure that the line is drawn in the sand on many issues, but then turn to that very government entity and say, give me free pickup for trash? I think that is a major, major violation of the rules of the separation of church and state. How do we get there? Well, many of the people that go to the churches work for the city and county of Honolulu, and they're going to do good for their church. Meantime, you and I as taxpayers, you may be Protestant, Catholic, the others, one church may. I'm thinking that is something, especially given the times with high increases of salaries and the costs of living and the cost of operating government, can we afford to continue these little relationships? So back to this trash thing. So at Pearl City, on this occasion, the trucks were down. They should have been serviced on a Friday. They weren't. The properties should have been serviced on Fridays or Thursdays. And then the weekend came. They didn't do it. So Monday came, and the week started. So the answer to the problem was, we'll hire a private contractor. Roll-Off Hawaii, in this case, and very strange setup there. You know, if you recall, the same people that operates Roll-Off Hawaii operates the waste, shipping out of the waste. They were all related and connected. And for example, there's a scale that the city put in the property that is owned by that company But we don't know what the status of that scale, and this is a couple, maybe $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 scale. Taxpayers ate it. So the question is, how did Roloff Hawaii get this call to go out, and we're told approximately $8,000 to $10,000 is paid to pick up these delinquent or tardy pickups in these apartment buildings or condominiums out there in Eva, Makaha, and Mililani, and what have you. So the question that stands is that how did they end up paying, and as I say, stir your coffee now because you might get a little angry. I'm just warning you ahead of time. So if you hire the private hauler and pay them approximately $10,000 a day or whatever it was to do the route, they aren't clear about it, but $10,000. And you did this because, first of all, your trucks aren't working, and secondly, your trucks aren't working in Pearl City, but there's a truck that does work in Middle Street. But what happens, you attempt to punish the driver who went to an area that apparently he was told to go somewhere else. But anyway, he went, and so they got mad, and the driver, I'm told, just said, well, the heck with you, I won't drive. So the trash left standings. So now they have to hire the private. But then at Pearl City's yard, the yard is not equipped with an operating truck. But then they fixed the truck. So they sent one of the trucks out, city truck, at the opposite end of Makaha. But then, get this. After hiring the private contractor, the supervisor at that yard, at the Pearl City yard, does not have a map, does not of the routes that he would normally send his men, his normal city employees out. So he fashions a map of sort, a list. But then the driver of the private contractor don't know the route and need to get the trash out and pick it up. So what does the city do? They return and pay the city employee who would normally drive the route, who could have driven the truck that is there, who could have brought the truck from Middle Street and had two trucks on the route, but he paid the city worker overtime to sit there and instruct the private hauler. So in other words, the city worker drove around with the private hauler to held them by the hands to show them what trash cans to pick up. And you, the taxpayer, you wouldn't know about that, but you do know about Kurt Caldwell standing there snatching and ripping from the hands of the poor homeless people. And that's a big news event of that. But he's not telling you, while he's taking their $2 tent or their tent that was given to them and the last belongings that they have, he's also sticking you, ripping you. Guy's efficient. He's equal opportunity screwer. I mean, the guy will get you. And every day when I see this behavior, it's painful. Because I know we as a people, all of us, you, me, and the boy named Bobby, and the people next door, we know what's right and wrong. What can we do about it? So, again, how did we arrive at no trucks or trucks that were inoperable? How do we arrive at that? You see, where is the private investigation on you give your friends $8 million or you squander $8 million and you hire your own friends as a private investigator. You know, how did you pick that private investigator? Why don't you investigate how you are giving Roloff Hawaii a straight contract, just here, money hand over fist, and then sticking the city workers in there and you're calling it a solution. It's about time, folks. This is when you're punch drunk from, and I think, I don't know if it speaks to the character of the individual. I won't go that far. But what I will say, it's strange that things are falling apart in the city. Fees are increasing, taxes are proposed now, and what have you. It's strange that this comes on the cuffs of, and these same people that are making these proposals are actually the same people that were involved with the rail, which is kind of a scary thought in itself. So, and we're going to talk about that. I had asked Richard DeConte to call in and share with us about a meeting that was at the city council office, and we'll talk about that. But 524-1080 later, if you want to call in, and we'll talk. Feel free. Good morning, Richard. How are you?
Thank you very much for taking my call. I hope I can contribute. I did attend a meeting on the Tuesday, July 16th. It was Committee on Executive Matters and Legal Affairs Agenda. Mr. Manahan, Councilman Manahan, was the chair. Bill 32, relating to the ethics laws, clarifying the application of city ethics laws, and on the Advertiser, July 7th, legalities cloud ethic laws for bus company. Now, the council, Mr. Manahan and Mr. Menor, want the OTS to be more accountable using taxpayer money. OTS is a nonprofit, single bit, part private, part public, semi-autonomous entity. They use $224 million of taxpayer money. The OTS board and managers should come under stricter city ethic laws. Bill 32 would require them to come under city ethics laws. Now, the corporate council said that this might violate the city charter. And here's where the complications begin. OTS employees aren't part of the city, even though they're funded by taxpayer money. They had many complaints about the OTS under Roger Morton at the highest level, these complaints given to the Ethics Commission. I'm trying to be as factual and objective as I can. So, Mr. Tuttle, the Ethics Commission Chairman, referred it to Mr. Formby, Department of Transportation Services, and Mr. Formby will investigate, and he'll report back to Mr. Morton on OTS. The Ethics Commission does not have jurisdiction over OTS. The OTS president and general manager, Roger Morton, has been there for decades. He supports rigid, comprehensive ethics. We are a big company. I'm giving you direct quotes now. We try to be transparent. We understand transparency. And during this article, Mr. Tato said taxpayer money fulfill vital public service. It's a black hole, quote, these are direct quotes, no one really knows where it's going. For decades, Mr. Morton says, and governors and mayors and councils and lawyers are confused over the laws and jurisdictions. Morton said he doesn't fully get OTS standards or status. It's been a question for 40 years. No lawyer can answer the question satisfactorily. And before I go to his interview on Sunday, for 40 years, if I had a private company, I could probably act more quickly. It's painful to cut city bus services. Bus routes were cut for budgetary reasons, and we can't go back and restore the cuts for budgetary reasons. You can't crack an egg and scramble it and put it back together again. These are direct quotes. You can't go the frying pan into the fire, or whatever that means.
Wow, boy, he's full of them, huh?
No, the cliches are incredible. I mean, I could take that one quote and give you an indication of his ethics. Handy van is the most difficult part of our operation. We need more vans. Now, I could talk about that for a long, long time, but the problem is not budget cutbacks. In the future, we want to put the bus and the van under Hartz. So,
now, this is Martin suggesting that the bus, the handy van, and the bus goes under Hart.
Absolutely.
Isn't that funny? One non-autonomous, semi-autonomous private entity is now making recommendations to hand our resources over to another private.
Whoopee!
Wow. Well, go ahead.
And now I was there in Middle Street about a month ago. I was elbow to elbow with Caldwell when he said that it isn't the bus, van, or the rail. It's bus, van, and the rail. Now, very quickly to give you, taxpayer money was not supposed to go through bonds and loans. Taxpayer money to be given to Hart, and it has been. Before MUFI, the bus and the van got 50% of federal money, and now it's 33-33 because you've introduced the rail. You've got three entities. 5307 is contingency money that was taken from the bus and the van to be used for the rail. I gave a letter to Mr. Morton, who was directly behind me on the second floor at the council committee. The letter asked one question, stamped with my name: has any money been taken from the van or the bus to be used for the rail? Never got a reply. That was about 9-10 months ago. 6 months later, at a similar place, he sat in the next to last row with Mr. Yoshioka, and I asked, has any money been taken from the van or the bus to be used for the rail? And Yoshioka said no. So I've tried to be as objective as I can, succinct, but it is very, very consistent with everything that you said to begin the program. Mm-hmm. And naturally, I hope people call and people contest what I'm saying. I learn more from my mistakes, my errors, my misquoting, than I do from any positive response. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. My intent is simply educational. They have deprived you of understanding what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I am furious.
And you're saying that a matter is going to be referred back to Diane Kawauchi of the Corporation Council.
Oh, yes. Now, after 40 years, it's now going to back to Corporate Council, and in a matter, I guess, of a few months or maybe weeks, this might well be solved. It is in progress. Mm-hmm. Bill 32, the meaning it was deferred, so the bill itself is simply deferred, and there's more investigation.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Well, this they call it Corporation Council. I tend to call it the Cooperate Council,
well,
because whatever the private entity wants to do, the Cooperate Council will find a way to rip the people and deliver.
Well,
I think that, talking about ethics, I think that is one of the most unethical places, that entities that exist in government, because they know better, and there are laws that they skirt, and rules and policies and resolutions, and yet you would think somewhere down the line they would be smart enough to alert someone or have taken some action or move to the city council to right?
Of course.
But they're not there for that. They're there for I think 99% of them should retire. I know that they're a lie. I don't want to go into the details, but I've posted emails up where one of the lawyers is flat out lied. Others have lied, and yet they're supposed to be there to protect the interests of the people. They say they represent government, but the government is a people, so directly or indirectly, but how do we get, you take Board of Water Supply, for example.
Yes.
You take the Aloha Tower, which is a state, and you get many other of these semi-autonomous entities.
Yes.
What's our law entities doing, our Corporation Council, Attorney General? How do we arrive at this if there's law and ethics?
I'm not sure if the people know that the corporate council, if there is a lawsuit brought by somebody outside of the council and alleged that the corporate council will represent the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the mayor sues the council, the corporate council will represent the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
If the legislature sues the mayor, the corporate council will represent the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that.
Well, I guess whoever draw first blood.
Well, once again, please, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity, and I hope you continue to do that for the common good of the people. Thank you very much.
We'll try, and if you think of anything else that we didn't touch on, feel free to call back.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
Bye.
Richard DeConte. Okay. I don't... It's sometimes I feel like explaining and apologizing to you. You know, I can be as crass and as rude as you could possibly be, and it simply does not feel good giving people names and sounding disrespectful. But if you're in this stinkhole like I work in it every day, looking to make things better, and when I say making better, we shouldn't have to go and ferret out anything with our government. Government should be in the cleanest sense, and I know that's idyllic, but here in this town, in this state, I've seen nothing like it with the behavior, whether it's... let's take an example. If you go to carolcox.com, and I want to bring this thing home to you and just show you what it all means. If you got a computer, go to carolcox.com later on after the show, and we're going to post some pictures up there. And if you drive the Kalani Aniole Highway, or if you drive along the coast at Hanama Bay, Hawaii Kai, Hanama Bay to the area of Sandy Beach or the Blowhole, between those two parking lots, there's a pullout about 300, 400 yards from the Lanai Lookout on the right-hand side. Straight down is the cliffs, and I'm going to say 100 feet. I want you to just go, if you feel like it, and you want a scary thought, and you want to see what your government, what this all means, I want you to go there and go to carolcox.com later and look at these pictures. There's a guardrail, and this is a very thin thread anyway between you going over the cliff if you are an errant driver or a driver for some reason loses control, or city bus, who knows, someone pulls out and there's a swerve. That little lifeline that is there, all that there is there. It may not stop a bus anyway, but it's the thought that counts. At least before you go smash, you want to hear something and say crash, you know, that kind of thought. Go up and look at these pictures, or if you're driving by there, stop and look. The guardrail, if you touch it, it's flaking off in chunks of metal. There is small piles of rust, chunks of the guardrail just flaking off for about 80 yards in that big turn. Some of it, if you bump it with your knee, it just crumbles. And this is a very narrow and well-traveled road. Now, we know that the Department of Transportation buys drones. I know, and it's Harbors Division that bought the new boat and all of that. But how is it that under this administration, we're talking about bringing towers in the Kaka'ako, the Towers of Babel, you know, well, it's all Babel, but the increase of fancy apartments, and we're putting lights on the highway in Nimitz to make it look good so the tourists on their way to Waikiki But God forbid if they leave Waikiki in their car or on the bus or what have you, traveling along the shorelines along Hanama Bay, going to Makapu'u and Waimanalo and those areas. Imagine. I want you to look at that. If you're not moved, then something's wrong with you. You've drank the Kool-Aid too long. This administration should be handed a ticket. Don't wait to elect him out. We should, but we can't recall him. There's absolutely no way. I want you to look at that and see for yourself. This is the millions and millions of dollars we squander, the millions we tolerate being stolen by the employees, the millions in change orders, the millions. And yet a simple guardrail that serves as a life rope or safety device from hundreds, if not thousands, if you add all the people that traverse that area. And it is shameful. I don't think, you know, we talk about the bridges and we talk about the work that the I've tried to get the reports, the inspection reports, and we know that the State Department of Transportation does not, they're delinquent in some 400 inspections on final jobs. So if they put in a bridge, they don't do the inspections timely, and they don't do a follow-up inspection. So you don't know if the bridge met the specs or anything. You just don't know. So here's a telltale sign. If the contractor uses such materials that would it would rust so fast and such accelerated rate, or I should say, and catastrophic failure. Some of the guardrail is fallen down and bent from apparently just rusted out. So I'm looking for instances or examples where if they're going to hide their records about the inspection, which they have and they've tried to cover up, I've made requests, they've lied to me, but it's okay. I know that these problems exist because internally employees have called me and given me some information that tells me this. But what is going on here? Just look at those pictures, and that will tell you everything you need to know about the Neil Abercrombie administration. If you're in doubt about Neil Abercrombie, and if you should or could vote for him again, or will you, just go by and look at that one railing. We have people driving by there in state vehicles. I sat there yesterday and I saw six state vehicles drive by. Now, if I can notice it, well, I was there. I wasn't there looking for this. I'm sitting there. There's a population of red-tailed tropic birds that are nesting along the cliff there. And so I'm sitting there. I step over the rail and sit down. And lo and behold, I look back and I could see some rust. But then I start to closely examine it. And if you touch it, it's brittle. I don't even believe it would hold a moped if a moped was driving at an accelerated speed. So this is, again, as I say, I don't know if this is morbid, but this might be a shovel-ready job, because if they don't fix it, the people that go over that cliff are going to be looking for a burial site. There is no survival. I very seriously doubt. Now, that's not to guarantee that this rail would protect, depending on the type of accident. But at least it's a thought that counts. So, again, carolcox.com. I'm not putting them up there so that I can increase my numbers of visitations. I'm putting them up there so you can see firsthand what your government does. They take your money and they spend, spend, spend. And when you ask them about it, they put the spin, spin, spin. And everybody from outside with money and fame and influence can come in here and court Abercrombie and Caldwell, and they spin, spin, spin. We're going to be talking about HPU and that debacle But again, spin, spin, spin. It's all about money. But when it comes down to doing the job, that guardrail, if you've never seen an example, it speaks for itself. You know, it speaks for itself. If action speaks louder than words, then I submit and ask this. What does inaction say? What does it speak louder than? A man's integrity, a man's ethics, a man's qualities, his sincerity to the community in which he, quote, serves. Elect me and I'll set you free of your money, I guess. That's what they really mean. So, but again, I don't want to wear it down so much, but I encourage you, if you really, really want to see what our government is about, don't worry about the activist or the employee, the former employee who's spilling the beans or blowing the whistle, or a guy here with the microphone in front of him calling himself the Carol Cox Show. Don't depend on that. If you get a chance, go to the website, look at that, or go out there yourself. And if you aren't moved, and if you aren't thinking that the people in government, the legislators, the governor, and many, I wouldn't say all of the employees, because there are many. I get 99.9% of my information from the city, state, federal employees. So it's not that they're dishonest. It's just that they don't want to be a Snowden, because if they speak out and it's heard that they're telling the Department of Transportation and the governor might revoke their citizenship. You never know. I mean, it's because the thievery is so massive that it probably would rise to the occasion of just damning any employee who would bother to go out and report this stuff. So I raise that issue to say to you, that's why you should applaud a whistleblower and not think that, well, I mean, if the whistleblower tell you that instead of paying $10,000 to dispose of medical waste, that they're telling the taxpayer we need $10 million to get rid of this waste, so we need it in the budget, but they're only spending $1,000, what's happening to the $9 million plus? So don't worry about if that employee is mad at the boss or they're trying to fire him for some other reason. Be thankful that someone would bother to come to you, the apathetic individual, and bother to, he's already in his quagmire. It's already trouble for the worker. So don't think the workers are coming to talk to you to plead mercy. Think that what they're telling you is an insight, the best form of transparency you can have. It's not modified, it's not altered, it's not coming out, flowing from the lips of Abercrombie or Caldwell or any other representative of them. It's coming from an entity or an individual or individuals that tell you these things. But we have a cockeyed way of looking at things, apparently. We first think, well, let's criminalize the effort and the act and the person that's bringing it to her. So you're not killing the messenger. You're just basically cutting your nose off in spite of your face by being so short. And in this town, we should have a holiday for whistleblowers. I'm not lying to you. I believe that we are so corrupt in this town, but it's fixable. But we don't embrace the whistleblower. We allow everyone to come in and tell us, well, you know, that person has had problems in the past, and that person, no. If he tells you and he's showing you papers that this is what's happening and here's a contract between these people and here's the real amount of money, don't worry about it if he dresses funny or has a chip on his shoulder or is arrogant. just take what he's given you and weigh the facts and move on. And that's what, in order to perpetuate these lies and to steal your money with comfort and with ease and spend it with no accountability, they rely on you being the investigator. They rely on you holding the whistleblower accountable. Because the reality is, they're going to do an investigation. You look at Caldwell. The greatest insult that I've seen in modern times in the city and county of Honolulu in the state is that Kirk Caldwell picking a private investigator to look at what? In the meantime, and follow this now, and we're going to go to the next hour, but ask yourself, if you're hiring a private investigator, how on earth could you be now agreeing to pay $1.88 million or $1.8 million back for your violation? Has the your private investigative agency reached a conclusion who was wrong? If that is true, then why didn't Caldwell tell us that the investigative agency, the private one that he picked out of probably at some picnic, and he's already determined, that agency has determined that we were wrong, so therefore we should move up to the altar and pay and try to beg mercy. Is that the case? So we're getting clear examples. If you want to know what Kirk Caldwell is about and what everybody that he has working for him and surrounding him, if you want to know what Neil Abercrombie is about, just take that. Go look at that rail, the guardrail, and then look at that statement, the willingness to pay back HUD $1.8 million or so for the $8 million they abused and used and screwed around with. Yet, you the public, by the way, they spent your tax dollars to pay this private investigator to look into this. So, rather premature, I believe, if in fact the investigation is not complete, how then and how irresponsible is it of Caldwell to admit or to openly offer to pay a fine or pay back something that he don't know that he it was wrongfully spent? So anyway, that's the way it is on that one. And it doesn't feel good. I got to tell you, saying bad things about people. But when you say, trust me, and we pay you, and you make all of these great things, and you make the mistake of kissing our babies and shaking our hands, by golly, we're going to hold you accountable. Because that's, you're either duping us, or you have a mission, you're working for somebody other than the people. So anyway, we'll be back shortly. Thank you for the Carol Cox Show.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And second half here. 524-1080 is the number if you'd like to call in or have any comments on some of the subjects we're talking. But anyway, getting back to the old subject of trust in government and what have you. If you continue to operate this way, take money here, take money there, as I've said many times, I believe if our government was efficient, and I know that's a big dream, but if we could get the people to adhere to what it is that they promise and what it is that they preach, I believe the hardship, as we see it, the cost, but instead everyone's compromised. All of our leaders or elected officials are predisposed with some commitment either to their church, to their company, to their party, to their whatever, but no one is committed, in my opinion, to the center line, where the center line defines fairness, equity. You can't have a perfect government. You can't. It's not going to work because there are many things unseen, and there are new developments every day, and we're dealing with numbers, and we can't predict. We don't have a crystal ball. But something's going on here that we can get a handle on it. But I think it becomes more complicated when these guys go abroad, and I watch them. They go to the Philippines, and they partner up with the sister city, which is good, and outreach and diplomacy. That's all right. But if you're standing on a rock, and the rock is only 100 yards wide, you can't continually build on it and invite more friends and do all kinds of business and do all of this. It's just not logical. It's not plausible. So that on face value, the way we're inviting everything, what's the incentive? Because there is a such thing called carrying capacity that they talk about sustainable communities. But with the assault and the invitations that are extended to the world body to come to Hawaii and make millions and lay in the sun and enjoy the sun and enjoy the climate, Hawaii is limited in its ability to carry or the capacity, just in common sense would tell us all of that. But somehow it escapes us, and we're in this rat race, and the people that are here, we get moved by the financial bulldozer plowing us out of the way to make room for the new invitees. And I know in a global economy, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm naive, but I think a lot of the expenses and the problems that we face here in this state is brought on by people with bad intentions. Or as if you ask them, they have good intentions. But the reality is that the work that government should be doing, they're not doing it. And speaking of that, I talked to you about last week. I shared with you a story on the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And we talked about the vessel. There's a boat called the Munson. And I just love it when people do dumb things and then all of a sudden they become genius and brilliant. And I'll give you an example. Now, there's this patrol boat. Now, we are a state that is heavily, we rely heavily on the marine resources, the ocean to fish, the ocean to dump in our sewage, the ocean to travel and to transport food and water and all of the amenities, that the things that go with good life. But and we have the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and you know the motto, the mantra. We have this beautiful place with its fragile, irreplaceable, rare, and endangered, the most endangered species found, and blah, 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 per square inch. And if you understood, as I do, and I'm not trying to be the smartest guy in the bunch here, it's just that I have a little greater insight. And there are government workers within that agency that are as honest as you can get, and they're sick and tired of it. But again, going back to Neil Abercrombie, he surrounded himself with some people, the William Islers and all, to deflect, and he's busy stealing in the candy shop, giving it all away. Kakaako on the rise, and DCA, and on and on and on. So, and then they got Esther Kia Aina, who we had on the show. She was running for one office and then decided in midstream to run for another office and then lost that office, then went and then, boom, and found her way to the Department of Land and Natural Resources as a deputy chairman. That's not to say anything bad about it, but there's a lot of dysfunctionality that's going on in that place. It's dysfunctional. So this vessel has set for you. It's been in the system for a long time. It was once at Maui. And if you saw the news story on TV, and we talked about it, that this is an agency that requires anybody with a boat, a vessel that is moored in the Alawai, for example, in the harbors, you have to demonstrate that your vessel is workable and movable and on its own powers can go out and demonstrate that, in case that it's not just a derelict vessel. and so forth and so on, and safety issues and being able to respond to the tsunamis and, you know, whatever it is that they instituted this law. Well, I'm posting pictures up, and then we're going to write an article in the Hawaii Fishing News. I would have written it earlier, but once again, I told you about the delay in getting information. Well, I wrote a letter. I've submitted a request for information. I want to look at their records on the maintenance of this, how much money was spent, when it was painted, and all of those things, and when was it used for patrol. Well, what I found out is that I thought, well, let me just watch this vessel closely, because they didn't respond to me timely to get me my information, and I asked them so that I can prepare for writing an article. They ignored me. But finally, they acknowledged that they received my request. So I'm thinking, this is the DLNR. Can't trust that group of people there with the down from Abercrombie to Island, those guys. Can't trust that they're going to be transparent. They rule with an iron fist, and they have their own mission. They know what they want. They want the caca-acos and all the other caca. But they get out there, and I'm thinking, let me pay close attention to this one. So I get up and go down each day early morning. And as I was thinking, because I know these dudes, I find them, one officer lingering around. And that in itself is kind of bad, questionable, because his position is that of a yard man, maintenance man, but he get paid as an officer. Somebody's friend of a friend, he came in with the dogs. They had a dog program, and the dog program never succeeded, but they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in that. So waste, waste, waste. So I'm thinking, well, this boat is there, and I, lo and behold, I see this guy, and then I thought, okay, let me grab my camera, and sure enough, I knew something was happening. Now, you don't see much stirring around this boat, and sure enough, there's this vessel assist company pull up to the vessel and threw a rope on it, and they towed the vessel from Alawai to the out at Sand Island, and took it that long of a distance to hide it, not to moor it in the Kehi Lagoon area, but to take it out and pull it inside a lock gate at the Maritime Educational Center, the Honolulu Community Colleges. So imagine. So what I told you, the boat had a tree growing out of the engine. So what was the explanation? The state responded by saying, we had decommissioned this vessel about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Well, if that is the case, then why would you leave more than $50,000 or more in electronics and navigational equipment and a law enforcement light bar and all kinds of antennas and what have you? Why would you leave that vessel sitting there for a year and a half if you decommission it? And then secondly, why would you paint that vessel, paint the bottom of it, even though it was already painted and clean, and you painted it again? Why? Well, let me tell you, there's a little practice that I uncovered way back with the DLNR. It's true, and it's a, if I was a criminal-minded person, I try to emulate or duplicate this practice. I'd get me a government job, and here was the practice, and I don't know if it's still going on. So you know you have a truck or a piece of equipment that you want to survey or decommission. You don't need it anymore. It's exceeded its use or its mileage or whatever. But before you get rid of it, You go and you put new tires, new four-wheel drive gearing, new motor, new, because it's still used in the service, and it's quite naturally, it's a normal practice. You need it. It's being used. It's, it hadn't been decommissioned. And you rebuild that truck to make it almost new. Then you have your brother to go to the company, the car dealership that sells trucks to the state that replenishes their fleet of cars or trucks. And as part of a trade-in, the dealership takes the old truck or the old car, whatever it is, takes it, and then turn in your brother-in-law or your brother goes down, or even you, if you're dumb enough to leave the tracks, and you buy the truck. So now you walk away and the truck is sold to you maybe $300, $400, $700 because it's junk. But it's really not junk because you know that it has actually been used and been remodeled and retooled, and it's up top shape at the taxpayer's expense. And so you have that vessel sitting there. Is that the same thing? Because, again, that vessel in itself is quite expensive, more than $100,000, probably more than $200,000. So if you decommission it and you're always short of money, strapped for cash in your budget and your operating, why would you leave a vessel sitting there rusting away, if that is the case, and not get rid of it? You never know. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Oh, what's up, Carol Cox?
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good.
What you got for me here? What, you listening in? Uh-oh. You don't disappoint me, man.
Yeah, I'm listening in.
Yeah? Okay, so what, you have any comment on this?
What are you talking about? The talking about the rail or something?
Or you let me down, man. Tune in and give me a call back. It's going to be a test. It's going to be a test for you. You're either listening or you're not.
I'm listening in.
Okay. Well, give me a call later.
Oh, I don't want to hold it in there.
All right. Well. Anyway, that's Jason. We'll hopefully call back with the and offer something about the subject at hand here. But I also invited former council member Tom Berg to call in and talk about the GMO. But we'll see if he's if he gets up to it. But anyway, so what prompted them to take this boat and snatch it out of the water all of a sudden? Because I'm asking questions? They waited a year and a half, as they claim, or forgot it. Was it a reminder? Am I the string around the finger for the DLNR? So you see the nonsense that goes on? And why is it important that we use and have this vessel ready? They are, the DLNR is the only maritime law enforcement entity in the state. Now, they also offered, well, we bought a, replace it with another boat. How dumb is that? You have people. This is, again, reflective of the Abercrombie administration and its importance that it plays on public safety and important things in life. That guardrail rusting away, don't care about that. A boat sitting down there that they forgot because, but look at, that is the hub for all of the traffic coming in, the boat traffic coming in and coming out. Sailboats, millions of dollars. Where's your law enforcement present? A man went nuts down there, as they say, about a year ago. And where was the DLNR? They have to tax the HPD. So how is it that this vessel didn't have a sign on it that says out of a decommission, out of order? What it was this boat set there as a decoy, as a lie, to represent that they are willing and able and capable of doing the job, and this vessel is ready. That's what they, by leaving that vessel there, that was the intent. They have one person that could operate the vessel, And I understand that person supposedly is out on industrial leave. So why then did they not? This is the Department of Land and Natural Resources. If they had all the answers for the article and rebuttal to the article, then the basic question is, well, why weren't you able to get it and turn the ignition and start it up and drive it on its own power? Why did the taxpayer end up having to pay extra money to have it towed? And by the way, the boat is an expired registration. And if you look at the trailer that they trailered in, apparently it's expired. So that's the way it is, folks. They're always equipped, always, to try and weasel out one big lie after the other. They tell you about the sandbar, how they're going to arrest people and they're going to do this. Well, they did put a new boat in, a catamaran that is water ops on the Kaneohe Marine Base. But why would they leave the boat down in Alawa? So that's the problem. It's one big lie. This thing called the DLNR. They don't work at night. They had the chief of law enforcement was acting in his capacity, contrary to some of the rules and the union agreements and all. And yet, William Isla and the committee that selected him selected this man who has a background of a prison guard, corrections officer. No formal education of training in law enforcement, passing schools or anything, post-certified. Yet, boy, is he equipped with answers, though, man. Oh, yeah, we had that, and we did commission it a year and a half ago, and we replaced it. Really? So everybody down there that leave that Alawai Harbor, leave any of the harbors, leave with the safety factor in their mind that they're safe because they just drove by while exiting the Alawai Harbor. They saw the DLNR's vessel ready to go. If they found themselves with an engine fire or a sinking boat or pull up on a crashing a vessel, all they had to do was hit 911 and DLNR would be right there. But the problem is they couldn't be right there because I posted some pictures up on the website, carolcox.com. You'll see the incrustation of sponge and barnacles and all of that. The propellers are not recognizable as propellers. So this is the big lie and perpetuated to Malamaka Aina. Yeah, right. Let me tell you, this thing called the DLNR, they are so badly broken. And I am going to start something to ask the legislators to once again audit them. We cannot afford to have these kinds of behaviors occurring. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, real quickly. I had the opportunity to listen and watch your investigative reporting on this DLNR matter on two TV stations. It was a very good job. I was very impressed with the way that you brought everything factually forward to the public. My question is, it's really for them to answer, is why did they take a boat that could have been maybe sold, it was decommissioned while it was in pretty much decent condition? Why would they let it degrade and maybe leak fluids and, you know, into the water and get into a condition of maybe impossible repair? Now it's got to be salvaged, or if it is fixed, it's fixed at the taxpayer's expense. But if they had sold it initially, you know, it wouldn't have been a burden on the taxpayer. And I'll take my question out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that anti-fouling paint, if you know the cost of it, and if when you paint the hulls, and some of you fishermen know. But remember, there are rules. This vessel would enable the DLNR to get out there and enforce the law and just simply patrol. Give the people a visual comment that we're here. We're here to protect you. We can respond. But to paint that boat. You see, it used to say State of Hawaii on the side of it. And the skipper convinced them that he should paint it again. So I'm really curious, as I said earlier, why would you put any more money into it, into the vessel, if you knew it was decommissioned? And so, and why would you, as a caller just asked, why would you leave it sitting there when you could recover those that money? And at a minimum, buy smaller boats. But there's a bigger problem here. Again, it's DLNR has always been afflicted with poor management and putting people on top, whether it was the now Judge Mike Wilson, who was a lawyer, and Cayetano hired him. It was dysfunctional then. It was it's been dysfunctional because there's a lot of money to be had there. And the resources, you don't want the enforcement, to be honest with you. If you're busy trying to build Kaka'ako, you don't want any law enforcement entity there checking on anybody, so you hold them at bay. And then with Abercrombie, as I've pointed out many times, he has suspended all of the environmental laws, basically, in his proclamation or in his executive order back in June of 2011 or earlier. But anyway, this thing is coming full circle. You got enough reasons to say to Neil Abercrombie, thank you and good night. It's at this rate, everything that is under his watch, under his guidance, is questionable. Everything. And someone said, well, what about Iggy? You think he can do better? I don't know. I don't go that far. I think about the damage that is being done, not the damage that is possibly could be done. Yeah, I mean, you think ahead. But when we're up to our necks in alligators and crocodiles and government that's inefficient and ineffective, I don't want to be taxed with having to explain to who do I believe will be successful. And speaking of that did you see? I ate a banana this morning, and I swear to you, I almost threw it up sideways. It was I saw Will Sparrow going to run for Congress, or thinking about whatever it was, and it's like. Yeah, right. So that means his son would become the, move to Washington, become the czar of housing. Jason Sparrow, who we know have problems and only got his job because his father is the state senator. I'm thinking, Will, you need to show us some ethics and you need to come back into the group, into the crowd. It's not a one-man show. It's not about you, Will. It's about you. When it comes to the same-sex marriages, it's about you failing to stand up and speak out on civil rights. You're a Democrat, and now you're ready. But I think he's now said that he's going to support it, or he's going to give his, you know. I think Will Sparrow should just stay in his position, if we are willing to tolerate him. Unfortunately, the people just keep voting him back in, but something has to change. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Yeah, listening to all this stuff, quit disclosing all this, because I'm trying to get some of these $10,000 a year jobs with the state or city and turned it into $100,000 a year.
Yeah. Well,
why you disclosing it? It's going to make it can't live on $20,000 a year. So
yeah, I know. I'm trying to see if they need a guy with a microphone. I'm feeling like I want to go on the take now.
Because, you know, like these local the island politicians like Wes Sparrow and the rest of them, they take enough money out of being a local politician, but they all want to get to Washington because the take is much larger there. That's why they want to move to Washington.
Oh, yeah, and that's... So, and not Washington. Well, Yeah, you have to ask, why did Abercrombie want to come back, leave Washington, to go back to Washington Place?
Yeah, so that's quit disclosing this, because I want one of those jobs.
Okay, well, I better start posting an application.
Anyway, good job.
I put an application online for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, good job.
All right, aloha. Anyway, I want to apologize. I would love to be able to sit here and tell you about the tropic bird that I took pictures of yesterday, the monk seal. That's, you know, but at some point you see things collapsing around you, and it's like there is no hope. None. Not even the Obama hope. Not even the Republican hope. Nothing. You got the Gene Wards, the Sam Slongs, and the first thing, small business, you know, we got to get this, and we got to do this. Come on, speak up with a voice. Start pounding the table. You want us to see your party, the Republicans? You want us to see you grow in numbers? Now quit being so mealy-mouthed. That just the other day, there was a meeting of sort that... It was a fellowship meeting between some of the Christian leaders in the state, in the city, or wherever, with people like Romney Cocciola, Gene Ward. And this is that little sneaky, slimy process that everything that relates to democracy is submitted to, backdooring it. They even ran, it was supposedly to ministers and religious leaders, and then Carolyn Galoyu was asked to leave. She's a minister, and it's in a public place. So I saw the video, she shot some video, there's Romney Cocciola, Gene Ward, and Mizuno. Folks, I hope I'm not telling you, because I have had great respect for Mizuno from the way he did his dance and his come on. He bears watching. I'm finding Mizuno on the wrong side of the fence too often, but it's under the pretenses that he cares. With the homeless, he approached me. I engaged with him. I went down. We had a big press conference and all of that. And immediately he uttered these words. Well, my colleagues are concerned that there is a problem. And I don't want to. And this was Jason Aspero, and he's been talking to Will. So let's go back and reexamine John Mizuno. And let's see if John is for the people or is John for himself. Because having a fellowship meeting in private with others and excluding others in the state capitol is just wrong, wrong as two left shoes. Good morning, Mr. Berg. How are you?
This is Richard.
Oh, Richard. Go ahead. How are you?
I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead and interrupt.
very quickly, I wanted to thank Councilmember Manahan and Mr. Menor, both of whom seem to be on the side of the public common good, and always Ann Kobayashi. I applaud them. However, what will happen in the future?
Mm-hmm.
And next, you can go to the City Council Room 203, Honolulu Holly, and here's a very quick schedule. When they have the committee meetings Tuesday, public safety and economics at 9 o'clock, parks at 10:30, 1 o'clock, executive matters and legal affairs. Mm-hmm. And Wednesday and Thursday, I'm not going to go through it, budget, public work, zoning, transportation, intergovernmental. But if you go to the City Council, Honolulu Holly, room 203, go inside the door, and you can get a brochure, Honolulu City Council's calendar. The clerks are excellent. They are so accommodating. They're marvelous. And I do want to applaud some people in government. We don't want to be negative about all of them. Thank you very much. Bye.
But if they're all ripping us off, Richard, we have to just speak the truth. And as I said, most 99.9% of the city state workers are an honest bunch of folks. Trust me. You there?
Yes.
Yeah,
bye.
But again, I hate it when people say talk negative. That sounds like the local approach. No, we're just talking turkey and telling how the calf ate the cabbage. That's the way it is. You know, if they're good, we compliment them. If they're ripping us, then we scream at them.
It's, yeah, well, I like to compliment them.
Well, that's good. I'm not this show. I'm not taking money out of my pocket to sit here and compliment the people. I would go on TV and get a bunch of roses and pass them out. But it, again, it's still all good. I appreciate what you're saying. But yeah, acknowledge those that do good, but when they do bad, be just as equal in delving out the criticism.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's good. I appreciate what you're saying.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I hate getting caught up in that, talk negative because I've come to learn that politicians will sit there and pound a table. And then when you see their final vote, they voted, went ahead, yes, with reservation. So, you know, and again, politics is a strange game. It makes us strange bedfellows. We know that. But when you get things such as this, as Richard shared with us, 40 years they've had. What do you mean 40 years? You mean you appreciate transparency and ethics? Now you tell us, but yet you weren't eager and aggressive enough to run out there, you know, so and make things right. But anyway, I talked about the GMO earlier. So I get a call from a former employee of a trash hauling company. And this employee tells me, well, you know, we have some concerns I want to share with you. We were hauling corn from the fields or from the facility there at Cunia. And we were hauling it down to the ethanol plant in Wailua. And our trailers were of such that we would spill, we would travel on the roads with the corn uncovered. This is a GMO corn, he tells me. And this is, I'm repeating what this caller, this former employee of this company, and that they would frequently travel with the load uncovered. So, and the containers that were being hauled in is spilling and some of the corn is falling along the road. So that if that is true, that calls into question the looseness or the promises that these GMO companies have promised that this material, this product is contained and not just strewn around the place and there's containment. But more alarming is that the individual caller shared with me that the trucking company that did the hauling since then was let go, and they then hired Mike Cherry up there in Wailua. He's now hauling for this company. But this caller, this former employee, says that they would frequently take the trailers that haul the corn, the GMO corn, and take it up in the Pearl City Industrial Park and wash it out. And quite on many occasions, the corn would be washed off and scattered over the ground there. So, again, wildlife and other animals being able to ingest or consume that. So I don't know how that plays, but I'm just sharing that, causing the question, the great promises that we have this contained, we're not, as by these companies that are doing this work, we're not allowing this, we have great containment, and we assure you it's not a problem. So is it a problem? And this is what I'm trying to get at from the DLNR, or not DLNR, but the Department of Health. So I'm thinking they probably, as mealy-mouthed as they are, will probably call Monsanto and say, may we please give Carol Cox Our enforcement reports that we took did some years back, and because, you know, it might be damaging to you, or do you, is it okay to let him see them? Yet they represent the public, the DOH. And so why would the DOH have to ask anything? If Monsanto is using something that they think is proprietary, then they shouldn't have, they should make that declaration up front. And that is what the law allows. Not when the public starts to ask questions, then the Department of Health feel that it needs to go and pull the coattail of these companies and say that the public is asking questions. Should we let them see it? So what does that say about this whole process? Should we trust it? Are the GMO people that wants it, and I'm one of those, I at least want to have a label. And speaking of labels, I was at Safeway last night. As you know, a while back we sued Safeway and got a formal agreement, binding, mind you, that they would let the public know and post that it has been treated with carbon monoxide. I see now that they've gravitated back to the earlier practice before I sued them. And that was to put on the signs openly, with, up front, this fish has been previously frozen and treated with carbon monoxide. So if your fish seems a little jumpy when you start to eat the pokey, maybe it's the carbon monoxide that's causing it to flounder or flap around. But anyway, just a joke there, so don't come calling me and complaining. But yeah, I think it's only common sense to have people able to know what they're eating. And really, I don't know why we have a struggle, and our legislators, I guess they'll probably put a lot of money in Willa Sparrow's pocket, or again, we don't know who's receiving money from the GMOs, but we know they seem to have a lot of power. And speaking of information and access, now we talked, and this will be briefly, I had again called and sent Tom Berg an email. He sent me an email last night, and so Tom, if you're listening, see you on the rebound, I guess. But Kimberly Pine, speaking of Tom Berg, Kimberly Pine, city councilwoman now, I don't think she respects the law. About a month now or more, I filed a request for public records with her relationship with the U.S. vets. And to date, folks, under the OIP, Office of Information Practices, and the Uniform Information Practices Act, the public is entitled to make a request. I made that formal written request. Kimberly Pine has refused to respond, to acknowledge receipt. I've emailed it to her. I've mailed it to her. I've delivered it to her. And I've called about 10, 15 times. And she refuses. So I think she thinks that she's insulated, or I think that maybe she is so deep into the confusion and conflicts that she doesn't believe that she's accountable to anyone. And so, just briefly, what it was about is that she was an officer, or is an officer, and was an employee. It wasn't clear, but in her filings, that she was an employee of U.S. vets, while receiving information from people that were, a person that was complaining to her about U.S. vets as a city councilwoman, they were appealing to her, and she did nothing. Nothing. And so, Ms. Pine, we need to look at her a little closer, too. She, I think the voters out there, I don't know if it was they felt that they need to get rid of Berg or what have you, so they voted for her. They, as I say in this town, the lesser of two evils. I don't think it's the evil. I just think it's the people are committed. They are conflicted with so many relationships and all. And so eventually I will file that information. And that whole process, you know that the U.S. vets, I haven't talked about them much because originally, and I will be, I'm putting some things together. And you know I mentioned the name Ron Hahn, who was with the Veterans Affairs or office. A letter was shared with me where Tina Kazon was a person that was living at the YWCA U.S. Vets combination housing. And she was referred to Ron Hahn. And I, in turn, also called Ron Hahn and was led to believe that he was waiting for the investigation and what have you. And all of that delay, and he inserted himself. And by the way, you got to meet this guy. He was a colonel or something, and he tells me, "You're a liar, you're a liar." And I'm thinking, wow, this guy is good for combat. The reality is, after I've watched all of this and called him and being delayed and put off and learning that he was in the process of selecting and appointing or recruiting someone to investigate the U.S. vets, Tina Kazon matter, Kazon receives a letter from the governor's office on his behalf or from the state attorney general's office to say that, oh, this matter is a federal matter, so it's none of our business, basically. Yet, Colin Kippen was there in the meeting. Ron Hahn was there. So, I on the way in, I heard about heard Polka talking about the homeless issues and what have you. There is no cure for the homeless, really. If you look back in Pam Whitty Oakland's testimony, they didn't want to give the HUD monies to the nonprofits because they basically couldn't spend it fast enough, but give it to the city because the city could do a lot of stuff with it and doing sidewalks and what have you. So, there is a group of people here, and I hope for the sake when they meet their maker, they have their explanations and written down in hard copy because it's going to tax them. They are causing the suffering of many people. They're contributing to it. They're in there, and all they're serving is shields for a poorly run administration, misplaced policies, and they seem to have no hesitation, nothing. They're eager to do it. So, again, is that all related? Yes, it is. It talks about the Neil Abercrombie administration. Speaking nice about people, I'm looking to find one thing, and if someone could call me up before the hour end, I'd love to say something good about Neil and his program, and I offer and invite any of you out there right now, if you got something good to say about him, please, I'll give you the remaining minutes. And 524-1080 is the number. Good. Somebody there. Good morning, caller. Tell us what you know good about Neil.
Well, hi, Carol. This is Dave. Actually, I remember the radical professor of the University of Hawaii. And, even though he's a very liberal congressman, but now I really wonder if he came gave out to the company store. Anyway, can I share you with this letter I've been trying to get hold of?
Yeah, you read that to Polka this morning.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you heard that, okay.
Yeah. And I saw that. You had Colin Kippen won't respond to you.
Yeah. And I have a brilliant idea of how to, I mean, and all I ask is to be listened and heard.
Hold on one second. There's somebody saying something good about Neil. Hold on.
Okay.
Good morning. How are you? Hello? Hello?
Oh, what's up, Carol Cox?
Hey, good morning again. You got a comment real quick?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that I think the rail system is kind of like, I don't think we should have the rail system, you know?
Okay, well noted. All right, well, thank you. Okay. All right. Go ahead. You there?
Yeah. Anyway, Charles, have you ever approached Mr. Cuban to try and get him on your radio show?
We can't afford the microphones being gummed up with. Let me just tell you, I've said it on the air. Colin Kippen, I used to look at him and think, great, good man for the people. But what I've seen him display, see, if you're needing a job, that's one thing. But if something so critical like homeless issues, and you're not, I don't expect him to answer you and everybody that write him. But I've seen a behavior that he's displayed that causes great alarm and discomfort. And because when you trust someone and you've invested in your respect and you see the game being played, and that with the Tina Quezon, he was there at the fancy feast and with the U.S. vets, they have access to him and he comes to fend for them and presents himself as an obstacle in the people that are being victimized or impacted. So I wasn't shocked that he wouldn't respond to you.
Okay. Well, I'm not either, but actually, I'm trying to prove a point. And actually, I'm going to take this further.
Oh yeah, your point is well taken, and I applaud you for demonstrating it.
Yeah.
But
yeah, matter of fact, that's what I'm going to be doing within another week or so. I'm going to be demonstrating right in front of his office, waiting for him.
Okay.
Or I'm going to go on the fifth floor of the state capitol and the governor's. By the governor's office with a big sign and saying, homeless coordinator ignores the homeless. Some of that effect.
Let us know when you do it.
I sure will.
Okay.
This is a real mystery to me. Why can't, I mean, this fella, why wouldn't he be just really interested in solutions except, I'm the governor.
Yeah. We'll talk next week then.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah. Okay.
Aloha.
Take care.
Anyway, this thing, the people running around with the workers, and in Los Angeles, there's supposedly the appellate court said that they couldn't take the materials from the homeless, but again. Just another playbook out of the old playbook. Mufi Hanneman pushed him around, moved him around, beat him out. Caldwell came in, beat him out. Carlisle calling, beat him out, pushed him around. They're still here. So that means it's not the homeless people that is a problem. That means the economy is collapsing or having hard times because we don't take into account the variety of causes that people find themselves homeless. And one of them might just be a crooked government that is out of control and taxing those that are already burdened with a hardship and pushes them over the line with fees and all of those things. So, real quick, Carly, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Carol. I would the only positive thing I really have to say about Mufi is at least he went on a radio show weekly where you could call in and ask him questions. I believe he did, and Linda Lingle did too.
Right.
And Caldwell is, I don't see how to get access to him. He did go around for a series of town hall meetings, which was kind of a dog and pony show, primarily about rail, and some of the city directors were there. But he should make himself more accessible to the people, I believe.
And how about Abercrombie? I wanted to hear one good thing because Richard said, I want to say something nice. If I can't, let others say something.
I wish I could help you on that.
Okay. Hey, let's take up this conversation next week, and we'll talk later. Aloha.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to get out of here, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining the Carol Cox Show. That's carol@carolcox.com, and we'll see you next week. Aloha.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.